pray. Lord God, open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to believe all that your word teaches. Do this for Jesus' sake. Amen. It was over a week ago that I was walking past the AC. It was a cold and blustery day, but that did not stop the track team from doing a practice run. As I passed by some of them, I commented, "You guys are awesome." Indeed, their commitment was something to be admired. Were they really awesome, though? Well, it depends if we make the word awesome a comparative term, then compared to wimpy athletes, they were awesome. Nevertheless, I wonder sometimes if we, by our use of certain words, water those words down to the point where they become meaningless. Then when the word is truly deserved by somebody, it doesn't mean as much. And awesome is a word like that. In his day, Michael Jordan was considered to be an awesome basketball player, one of the great ones. But was he awesome in every way? Or was it just on the basketball floor? Can you think of somebody that you would regard as being awesome in every way? Or what about something? Driving west through Wyoming, we came around a curve in the road, and there, right before our eyes, the mighty Teton Mountains rose from what appeared to be prairie. It was an awesome sight, made my jaw drop, and I learned at that time what it means to gasp, because I did it. But then listen to this. The Lord, your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. If we're going to use the word awesome to apply to a basketball player or to a mountain, then what does that word mean when we apply it to God? That he's like a basketball player or a mountain? And if we apply the word awesome to God, how can we apply it to anybody else or anything else? When we returned from a trip west, we were in an airplane. We flew over the same Teton Mountains. I looked out the window, and the mountains appeared to be just ripples on the ground. Not so awesome. God is above the mountains, and above the airplanes, and above the earth, and above the universe. And he cradles them all in his hand, and there is nothing above him. Looking back at basketball stars, if we think they're awesome, then ask, how did they get here? Where'd they get their arms and legs? How did they get their talents? From whence comes the wood to make the courts that they play on? From whence comes the metal to make the hoops? Whence the oxygen that they breathe? Whence the food they eat, the water they drink? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain, spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? All we need to do is behold the wonder of God's handiwork. From the heavens above to the earth beneath, from the largest quasar group in the universe to the tiniest quarks and gluons in the microscopic world, his creative power can be seen. He is a great and awesome God. from the explosive power of nuclear fission to the growth power of a tiny seed. We see the awesome wisdom of God. From the profusion of colors in flowers and in birds to the abundant variety of edible foods, we behold the awesome goodness of God. Without God, we're nothing. It is He who gives to all life, breath, and all things, for in Him we live and move and have our being. No doubt, the word awesome applies to God in a way that applies to nobody else. But what is the awesomeness of God to us if we can't enjoy it? For unredeemed sinners, the awesomeness of God is frightening. It reveals that this God can so easily pluck us from this earth and cast us into the eternal fires of hell. Until we behold the most awesome act of this almighty, immortal, invisible God. The act that far exceeds in glory any other thing that He has done. He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. And what better time to celebrate the awesomeness of God than during Lent? It is now that we sit in wonder and amazement as we behold the great and awesome God clothed in flesh and blood, submitting to the hateful words and deeds of the very creatures He created, allowing Himself to be nailed to the cross, sinking into the hell of God-forsakenness, and dying. It staggers our imagination, and yet it's true. And through this incarnation, this life, this suffering, this death and resurrection, redemption has been gained for all of us. We are forgiven. Now then, when we hear the words of our text, "The Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you," it does not frighten us. Rather, it moves us to praise, which we shall do in a few moments. To praise as did Moses. "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, awesome in praises, doing wonders?" Hymn 743, verse 1 and 4.